Please do take a seat. Well, big problems need big solutions. Lots of city firms around here claim to offer big solutions to all kinds of problems. A big solution we saw this week, well, to traffic stuck in the snow at any rate, was to bring in the army. That was a big solution. It seemed to work. People were rescued. But then there are really big problems. Well, they need solutions too, but it's a lot harder to find them. We may have noticed Theresa May made her speech this week to set out her vision of a solution to the problem of what Brexit could look like. And she called it a plan for a new beginning, and she said she was sure of a bright future, whatever happened. But of course we know the solution to that problem is overwhelmingly difficult to find. But as we move into Matthew chapter 8 this week, we're dealing with problems and solutions again. Matthew chapter 8 begins a section of 10 miracles in just two chapters. In fact, it's half the miracles in the whole Gospel of Matthew, and they're all recorded together in these two chapters. Well, why has Matthew put them all here? Well, having heard Jesus' authoritative words in the Sermon on the Mount, words of supernatural wisdom and authority, words which expose our sin, we now see Jesus' divine authority displayed as we see his miracles. They're acts of authority to help us understand who Jesus is and what he came to do. And having heard his authoritative word in the Sermon on the Mount, and as we acknowledge our sin and our poverty before him, well, these miracles show us very, very good news. Because in these miracles, Jesus demonstrates he is the promised one who can deal with our sin and all the devastating effects it has on the world. And so to begin with, we're introduced to a leper. So if you would grab a Bible, pick up one of the Bibles and turn to page 980. Page 980 in Matthew chapter 8, we meet the leper. Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 1. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to Jesus and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." The key to understanding the significance of this miracle is to understand what the leper represents. Leprosy is a term to describe various infectious, uncontrollable, ultimately destructive skin diseases. It was greatly feared in Jesus' day, a bit like cancer is feared today. But there was more to leprosy than its danger as a disease, because the presence of lepers in society, their very being, conveyed a crucial and a painful message to society. There are problems in the world now, and there were problems in first century Israel too. But the leper was an ever-present, visible reminder of humanity's greatest problem. The greatest problem that humanity faces, that death and decay reign in the world as a result of human rebellion against God. Our greatest problem. And so we need to unpack this to see how the leper represents this. And that's our first point, to see the devastating effects of sin. It's really important to be clear that there is no suggestion in Matthew 8 that the leper and his disease are any direct result of his personal sin. So it's not that he maybe stole something or was unfaithful to his wife, and so the direct punishment was he was struck down with leprosy. There's no suggestion that that's what's going on here. Instead, the leper is a vivid and unavoidable picture of the general situation that all humanity's in. The Old Testament reading, which Glenys read to us in Genesis 3, spoke of the consequences of Adam and Eve's rebellion against God. Their rejection of their Creator in his world. The consequences of their sin. And like Adam and Eve, all of us have rejected God, our Creator, by refusing to let him rule our lives, by ignoring his word. So Genesis 3 shows us the result of this rebellion is a cursed world under God's rightful judgment, and it's now overcome with death and decay. The last verse of the reading of Genesis 3:19, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So we don't suffer illness or sickness or loss as a direct judgment on any specific sin we commit. Rather, we live in a world that is experiencing the devastating consequences of our collective rebellion against our Creator God, death and decay. And so that was what the leper represented in first century Israel, a visible walking picture of the greatest problem. A terrible picture of death. An outcast, separated, outside, unable to come to God, unable to come to the temple, untouchable. Perhaps the leper had a family. Well, now that's been broken apart. They're unable to see him. Maybe all they can do is leave some food and clothing outside the city walls and he can come and get them later. You see, the separation adds to the picture and connects the picture of death with the problem of sin and humanity's rebellion against God. An ever-present reminder to the nation of that great problem of sin as he cries, "Unclean, unclean," as he walks around. So as we look at the leper in Matthew 8, we're actually looking at a picture of humanity groaning. And of course, the problem of death touches us all. The sadness, the pain, the grief of loss, and the sense of wrongness of it. And it strikes me that the world around us doesn't really have an answer to that. There's medicine, of course, that can treat sickness to an extent, sometimes a wonderful extent, but it can't overcome death. And then sometimes death comes at us in very shocking ways. I heard someone talking recently of a book they've read on the subject of death, written by an atheist, and the conclusion of the book was essentially that given the unavoidable reality of death and no hope of a solution in the author's mind, well, the approach to life was just then to enjoy the present, to make the most of the experiences. That was all we could do. And it's an unsatisfactory conclusion, really, and especially in the face of many of the intense problems we face. Imagine saying that to somebody facing death and decay and those intense problems. So as the leper groans, we see humanity groaning. The leper represents us and our greatest problem. We need a solution to sin and its devastating effects. A big problem needs a big solution. A real bright future needs a solution to death. So we need to watch the leper. What does he do? What happens? Well, that's our second point. Look again at verses 1 and 2 in this account. We look at the one with authority to solve them. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." The leper comes to Jesus. It's actually a shocking moment because he comes through the crowds, did you see? He's not supposed to come near people. You can imagine the upheaval of this scene, the panic, parents shouting to their children, "Don't touch him!" A crush as people scramble to get back. No doubt shouts at the leper, "What are you doing? Get away from us!" The leper is willing to break all social rules to come to Jesus. He is convinced that Jesus can help him. Verse 2 again, he says, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Real confidence. "You can make me clean." Well, what gives him that confidence? Well, he seems to recognize Jesus' authority. Notice that he calls him Lord, Lord, if you will. Whether he knows exactly who Jesus is isn't clear, but to call him Lord is the right response. It acknowledges his divine authority. It puts Jesus high and the leper dependent on him. And as he came to Jesus, he knelt before him. The word for knelt here is the same word used in Matthew for the wise men as they came to bring their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Jesus. Matthew says they fell down and worshipped him. So the leper is treating Jesus like a king. He's acknowledging his authority. He's treating him like God's king. Perhaps he'd heard Jesus' teaching on the mountain. Perhaps he's heard of or saw miracles. Maybe he just was putting together what bits he knew of the scriptures. Whatever it was, he recognizes Jesus' divine authority and he's confident Jesus is able to cleanse him. So he approaches him in humble dependence. His hope is in Jesus. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. It's a striking word for us. As we live in a world devastated by death and decay, where do we need to look? Well, we need to acknowledge Jesus as God's King, the one with divine authority. We need to look to him for a solution. We've probably heard or read in the news of the various things going on with the snow this week, and we may have heard of people trapped in the snow in trains or in cars at various points this week. Well, just imagine if a rescue worker had got to some people trapped in a train and he'd called out to them to get into his rescue vehicle, and the trapped people had said, "Oh, no thanks. We think we'll stay here, actually, and try and keep thinking of ways to solve this for ourselves." Well, we think that was crazy, wouldn't we? The rescue's right there. But actually, the world is so very often like this. The solution to our greatest need is right here in Jesus. But instead, we look elsewhere. We look to ourselves. We look to our own philosophies. Or we look to human leaders. And they can't deliver. Hope for humanity is in Jesus. As the leper says, you can make me clean. Did you notice the other thing the leper says in verse 2? The leper says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. See, the leper is really confident that Jesus has the authority to cleanse him, but he has just one question. Is Jesus willing to actually do it? I was reading this week of someone who'd worked as a youth worker in inner city Liverpool in the 1980s. And this is an extract of what they said. They said, I was shocked by the poverty I saw. Two things struck me. The people who wanted to change things were powerless to do so. And whoever did have any real power seemed to have little inclination to listen or care. Whoever did have any real power seemed to have little inclination to listen or care. Is Jesus like that? As the leper asks, if you will, it's a moment of real tension in the account. It's as if in the leper, humanity is before Jesus, recognizing our need, desperate for help, crying out, please, Jesus, if you will, you can fix this broken world. You can rescue us from death. Will you? Well, look at verse 3. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus is willing. He stretches out his hand, touches the leper, and says, I will. Leprosy would make a person who touched them unclean. But Jesus has such authority and such willingness that he reaches out towards the leper. Matthew seems to emphasize it by the fact he says he both stretched out his hand and touched him, going towards him with compassion. And then the words, I will. And far from Jesus becoming unclean, well, immediately the leper's leprosy was cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus demonstrates divine authority and amazing willingness to destroy the leprosy, to banish it. And it's underlined in verse 4. Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." This was the procedure for a cleansed leper to follow. They had to go to the priest and they'd give an offering, having got verification, and they'd give thanks. And Jesus wants him to do this before he tells anyone. I take it Matthew records this just to underline it was a full cleansing. The right next step to follow would be to follow Jewish law and to visit the priest. In this miracle, Jesus demonstrates that he is the one who has authority to solve the greatest problem humanity faces, the problem of death and decay resulting from our collective rebellion against our Creator. As we see the leper healed, we see Jesus is the one who can bring a real solution. He's the one who brings humanity hope. Now, I may be asking, well, how exactly can Jesus do this for humanity? Well, we'll see in the next few weeks that Matthew answers this. And amazingly, he shows us that how it all centers on Jesus' death on the cross to deal with sin and God's judgment. It may be that we're asking, well, when will we experience this liberation from death and decay? We're still in a world marked by it. Well, again, come back for more in chapter 8. But it's worth saying now that as we see the leper healed, we are getting a glimpse of the future for all who come to Jesus. This is a future beyond this world, one of eternal life, a new creation for those who trust and hope in Jesus, where death and decay are banished forever. And the miracle announces that Jesus has the authority to deliver this wonderful, bright future. But as we close, there are two more crucial questions we need to consider. The first is simply, will we acknowledge our greatest problem? Will we acknowledge our need as humanity, as those experiencing the devastating consequences of rebellion against God, as the veil of death and decay covers the world? We, of course, need to acknowledge the problem so that we can see the need for Jesus' solution. We don't want to be like the people on a train with the rescue workers there deciding to have a conference about another way out. And that leads on to the second question. Having acknowledged our greatest problem as humanity, will we acknowledge Jesus and his divine authority and depend on him for rescue from sin and its devastating consequence? It's as we do this, we can have hope of a certain future as those for whom the power of death is defeated and eternal life is assured. And of course, as we do that, we also see Jesus' authority and willingness to deal with death and decay gives us confidence to call others to him. He is able, he is willing. We have a wonderful message of hope for the world to call people to our authoritative and compassionate King. Jesus is humanity's hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for King Jesus, for his authority and willing compassion to deal with our greatest problem, facing death and decay. Help us to hope in him. Help us to call others to hope in him. And so to know a certain and bright future in his eternal new creation. Amen.